Welcome, basketball lovers, for Anatomy of Movie as we dissect the latest NBA movie called Uncle Drew. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. A movie from Pepsi Productions. Starring Kyrie Irving, we have Uncle Drew. Welcome, Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
I'm Phil Svitek, and we're talking this fun movie. It's a comedy. It's
about
ridiculous.
To get ridiculous.
As the song implies.
I do actually love this song.
For those of you joining us for the very first time, a couple of administrative things. Number one, we are spoiler filled, so we assume that you've seen the movie. Now, normally in our schedule, we do movies a week after they come out. This literally comes out the day we're talking about it, so we're not going to have all the facts as far as the box office numbers and so on and so forth, the critical response and all that, but we will talk production and so forth. Marissa will not be with us next week, so we have chosen to do it this week. And as always, you can follow along in terms of our rundown. In the description box, there's a PDF. Click that, and you get to see all of it. Now, let me set this up before we get into overall thoughts. Marissa, huge, huge basketball fan.
Yes.
Secondly, huge Celtics fan.
Huge.
So,
like, literally my Twitter bio says NBA enthusiast. That's how much I love basketball.
And that Twitter verifies that, of course.
Yes.
So, of course, we had to do this movie. So, without further ado, Marissa, overall thoughts for Uncle Drew.
So, I was very excited to know when this movie was coming out because I follow Kyrie Irving and his amazing career. So I knew when this movie was going to come out. And I was like, Uncle Drew, what? Because it's based on the Pepsi Max commercials, which I knew of. If you're an NBA basketball fan, would know of. The general population might not. So knowing it went from like such a small thing such as commercials to a big feature-length movie, I was all for it. I was like, Kyrie Irving, yes, sign me up already. And then Shaq got involved, Leslie got involved, and they were, well, Leslie was part of the commercials too. So like when slowly you learn who the other NBA players were getting involved in this movie, I was like, this is going to be awesome. It's, I mean, you have basketball legends together in one movie. What not to love? So I went into this movie with a lot of excitement. I knew it was going to be fun. I knew it was going to be ridiculous, but it did not disappoint.
Well, when you talk about the actual commercials, you know, I could see very much that going wrong simply because, like, the commercials were very well received, but oftentimes there is a huge difference between A, a commercial, B, a short film, and then making a movie that actually works.
Mm-hmm.
And all in all, the movie does work. Grant, you know, it's very much by the numbers as far as comedy and kind of the heartfelt moments of friendship. But you know what? That's okay because that has proven to work. And within that, you get the laughs and you get all these characters coming together and culminates into a just fun basketball movie.
Right, right. And what I liked about it, because for those who haven't seen the Pepsi Max commercials of Uncle Drew, I highly suggest you do. They're high production value type of commercials. They're filmed beautifully, shot like a documentary style. You can tell that there was money and time put into those commercials. They're very well done. But they're more, the tone of those are way more dramatic than Uncle Drew is. They're serious. But when you watch the slow progress of the real basketball players slowly realizing that these are NBA players and they're being duped right now, it's cool to watch it every single time. And I liked how they just built a fun story for Uncle Drew. Now they gave him a backstory. Because when you go into the commercials, he doesn't really have a backstory. He's just there. Mm-hmm. He's just a cool guy who everyone thinks is an old man and outplaying everyone in the parks. It's a cool concept just in that alone. So to give a backstory to an already cool concept, it's even more fun.
Way to learn them young bloods.
Young bloods.
Absolutely. And, you know, in that same sort of vein, it takes that documentary-esque style feel, and pretty much the movie opens up with that, right?
30 for 30. You gotta appreciate ESPN's take on that.
We get all the basketball legends talking as if this was a real thing, and you know, everyone chimes in and gives their perspective on the Rucker games and so forth, and it sets it up quite nicely. Now, the only thing of it that I had is that we start with that and then we kind of go to somebody else years removed, and so, and then it finally ties the two together. But apart from that, that was my only like real nitpick.
Yeah, and I kind of had that same notion because we spent the first 5 minutes establishing Uncle Drew's character and the mysteriousness of an enigmatic characteristic of this person. And then we spend 20 minutes on what you could say is our main protagonist, the main character that we're going to actually follow through the entire film, even though the titular character is Uncle Drew, who we don't see for another 20 minutes.
Absolutely. But as far as Dax, I mean, you know, once I sort of eased into it, I did appreciate his character, and I got we learned his backstory or everything that we needed to fairly fast.
Yeah.
You know, certainly we understand why he's doing this, and we understand his dynamic with Mookie. We know that he's an orphan, and then as far as, like, for all intents and purposes, I looked at it like he was abusive is the wrong word, but like it just in this heinous relationship with Tiffany Haddish's character.
Toxic relationship.
Toxic indeed. But at the same time, you know, later on when he explains, like, you took me in when I had nothing, it's like, okay, so he's indebted to her. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you see this easy establishment of he spent his life savings to be in the Rucker games. He loses his friendship and his girlfriend all in the same day, and that's a crappy position to be in. So you understand his motivations of why he has to hustle to find a new team to still be part of the Rucker games. And I like it. It's something simple, and it puts him in a place of desperation. But also. He's also a good coach. Then that's what coaches do. They bring together a team.
Yeah, and, you know, just from the initial setup, we knew that, or at least I knew that his arc was going to be he's got to figure out a way to work together and not be so reliant on anybody else. Because it was like, you know, you shoot the ball, not Dante, not other Dante, not Jeff, not white Jeff.
Yeah. That was funny. And I like that because it shows that he's also funny. He knows which players are the key players that you go to for the scoring. Aaron Gordon, of course, he's actually, as of right now, a current NBA, the only current NBA player in this movie. He plays for Orlando Magic, who's awesome, and he's an amazing dunker because he's been in two All-Star, the slam dunk contest, you know, so... And so he's a great, fun player to watch. And to see a relationship with an actual NBA player and that gets turned on him so fast, you're like, ah, shoot.
Yeah, I was very surprised. The way everything's kind of set up, and especially that first scene where he's like, we're cool, right? We're cool.
It shows the insecurity, yes.
It shows, and in a otherwise different movie, that would play out over a longer period of time. This happens within the first 20 minutes we're in, and he's lost his star player, and he's got to get another team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also very presumptuous of Casper to be like, hey, you're going to hook me up with those expensive shoes, right?
And my boys.
And my boys. And you're like, oh, that's over $800 worth of shoes.
With his 50% discount.
And I just like that because... Yes, he also works. I mean, this movie, you can say, and I really don't mind it because I watch NBA every other day of my life, is that it's like a walking billboard for all athletic sports gear companies. And you had Nike, you had Foot Locker, and so that was a nice plug to Foot Locker, too.
Yeah, but to the same notion, it felt authentic, and it felt, you know, deserved. Like, you could say, like, okay, if... Yeah, my coach works at Foot Locker, then hence, shouldn't I get the best kicks?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and granted, he was always going to leave him, but it's like, okay, well, especially if you're going to leave him, get the kicks.
Yeah.
Not a nice thing to do. It's the complete D-bag move to do, but mm-hmm. nonetheless, you understand it. And as far as like the villain of anything, Mookie's the way they set him up and the way Nick Kroll just in general, I thought that dynamic was to me the funniest parts of the movie. Especially like, I got to get in my enemy's head. You got to become your enemy.
I see what you're doing here. It's funny to see Nick Kroll. I mean, he's a funny comedian in and of himself. And he himself, he says, "Hi, how could I not be the token white guy in a basically all black movie with NBA legends?" And I appreciate that, like, he was aware of that. He owned his character because it's so fun to see white Caucasian men play basketball and always talk trash, and you're like, and you, so that's also just, you know, compensating for usually other is usually because they're also not good players, so they have to step up their game in that sense of the trash talking. And we see it a lot in basketball games and actual basketball teams where you have that token guy who's just a D-bag. And it was funny to, so there was that backstory with Mookie and Dax of like, I blocked your shot. And then you knew that Dax was going to have a redemption moment too with his arch enemy. Yeah.
Especially because he ends up on ESPN's not top 10 list.
for trying
to take Casper's shoes.
Yeah.
Back my shoes. Lots of good stuff. So from there, essentially, we get the band back together. Uncle Drew is really the catalyst. My team, my roster.
Yep.
What makes it all work is the absolute absurdity that they are still good basketball players, and yet they're old as hell. And just the simple running jokes of, it's too damn cold in the van.
Yeah. And, you know, and that is the running joke of the commercials, too, because when they were filmed, they were current NBA stars still in shape, in the prime, shooting, duping the real, you know, street players and thinking that they're old. And, you know, that's the whole running joke. So, like, I liked how they kept that in the movie because it is still fun. Yeah, these players in the movie, they're retired now, they're not playing NBA, but they still got game, and I appreciate that. It's fun to see them, and especially how they built each character, and we can get into them, but how each character somewhat had a disability that worked for them.
What would you say Uncle Drew's disability was? The fact that he was just arrogant and needed to rekindle his friendships?
Yeah, I was like, that was his only weakness and vulnerability of him is that he wasn't the best friend that he should have been. Mm-hmm. And we know Kyrie Irving has skills, awesome handles that he is. So it's like his character was still in shape, but it was really his story was more humanistic weakness rather than a physical weakness of old age.
And I think, you know, I did appreciate those moments. I mean, I wish they went a little bit stronger at it with Shaq and him in particular, because that was the crux of why the band essentially disseminated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although in lieu of that, they went more for jokes of like, ah, oh, you never hit a three throw. And for those of you in the know, Shaq's one of the worst three throw.
Yeah,
whatever takers in the world,
and I loved. There was also a line when they first reconnect at his dojo, Big Fella's dojo, and Uncle Drew takes a shot, and he's like, "That's the first free throw you ever made." I laughed out loud. No one else laughed. I was like, "Come on, you guys, that's hysterical." If you understand,
you have to know the joke.
Like, they're like, and that's why I appreciated this movie probably more than the regular audience fan, because I am a basketball fan. I understood the basketball jokes in this.
Well, you know, the first person that they do pick up is the preacher, and that's one of those where you don't have to know basketball to know that he's basically about to dunk damn kid into
he's about to say, Steph Curry, your baby. I was dying in this, and apparently this is Kyrie Irving's favorite scene of the entire film. Was Chris Webber like really took on this role, and apparently Chris Webber's real father, biological father, is also a preacher. So he was like channeling his father, and he just owned the role of stepping into that preacher, you know, praise Jesus, and it kind of worked. It was really funny because you don't know what he was going to do with this baby.
And the family eventually is like, can we have the kid back?
You're right. Steph Curry, your baby. Best line.
And one of the things that does come up, which brings a lot of heart to the movie, is Boots's granddaughter, right? She has an altruistic sense of caring for not only Lights, but obviously Boots, and seeing her grandfather Boots happy. And then, you know, that really sets up, because no one's really opposed Dax in that particular way, where, you know, Uncle Drew, he has his own issues that he's going to work out. So him getting the band back together is not 100% altruistic. Mm-hmm. Whereas she is, and she challenges that part of Dax in terms of the storyline. And I appreciate that. And obviously there's some humor there because she's taller than him and she's a romantic love interest.
And I liked it too because this is an ensemble movie with mostly males, but she really balanced out just basically everyone. She was the grounded, sane one out of all of them, and you have to appreciate that she's the one main consistent factor throughout the entire film.
Despite the what do they call it, the BO and the farts,
right?
Which you could totally see that from home
in the van. I can't imagine what it smelled like in that van.
Mm. As long as you took off your shoes in the boom boom room.
That boom boom room.
Ridiculous! I mean, what it does an amazing job of, without having to explain anything. It has a whole backstory. It has its own certain set of rules, and each of them understands that inside humor, and yet allows a window for us to be able to laugh at it without, you know, being inside humor that's just disconnected from the audience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what works best for it in terms of the first three quarters of the movie.
Yeah, and there was a lot of different situations that is actually just funny to watch. I mean, you have a ridiculous car chase scene that, is it needed? No. Is it funny? Absolutely. And there's a dance-off sequence. Did not expect that. I also love dancing. So to see geriatrics dancing and getting it down on the floor with a bunch of millennials, you know, that's also fun to watch too. So is it needed? No. But it's fun.
Absolutely. And then, you know, once we get to the Rucker games, then kind of all bets are off and everything just turns more into basketball. Although they do a good job of blending in heart into that. Certainly it's more focused on Dax than anyone else. You know, at that point, like I think they purposefully have Uncle Drew make amends with Big Fella. And then, of course, you know, he ends up in the hospital and whatnot. Yeah, they hone it in and focus on Dex. And you knew, I mean, at least I knew from day one, as much as they kept saying, oh, I only play basketball, mm-hmm. or I only coach, you're going to end up playing.
No, and there was the running joke, or not really joke, but like just the running storyline is like, I blocked your shot. And you're like, no, he has to redeem himself. Of course they're going to build him up. And a team of five, and you know he plays, at one point in his life he played, you know he had to have a moment where he was going to get to play again. I was like, someone has to get taken out of the game. And it was just a matter of Shaq left the game, and then Lights left the game. And you're like, okay, here's his chance to redeem himself.
And it's very it's very symbolic on that level. Like, not only did he block his shot, he essentially blocked the shot at life. And now he's got it all, because as Uncle Drew says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And he didn't take it with the girl. And then at the end of the movie, after he made his three-pointer, he took it with the girl.
Yep.
He made both his shots.
I believe that's a Wayne Gretzky quote, but it's still that.
Well, Uncle Drew says in Uncle the movie. Uncle Drew.
Yes, but that is also a famous quote that is still relevant, too, because it's true. It also applies to basketball. It applies to life. And then I like how the seriousness of just basketball and the reason why they play it. You see that slow progression too, because it started off with money, and then Uncle Drew was like, it's about the game, it's about the love. When we played the Rucker games, there was no prize involved. It was just for, you know, the fun sports and the honor of that. And so you see it going from money to just actual passion and the love of basketball, the love of the game. And I like that. That was cool to watch too.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, in terms of all of them, like, whenever it comes to these types of movies, I always think about the amount of time spent in prosthetics and makeup and just getting ready for the day, let alone, like, the actual shooting time, but just the preparation side. And kudos to all of them.
Yeah. And also in the Pepsi Max commercials, when the credits roll after the video plays, they actually show the makeup process of all the NBA stars getting into their gear before they go out to play. So I like how they did keep that in the movie too, and showed the production process, because prosthetics takes forever, sitting there, let alone playing. And I appreciated that too, because it kept the facade of what just the essence of Uncle Drew is. He is a mysterious character who can still ball.
And, you know, when you talk about those outtakes, one of the things that I appreciate, it showed their jovialness. They all had, they seemed like they had a lot of fun making this. And in fact, that's a quote in the movie. This is the second, the second movie within recent weeks that said, "You don't get old. You don't stop playing because you get old. You get old because you stop playing."
Yep.
And I thought that obviously that it's serendipitous that just it's in two movies within weeks apart. The first one being Tag, doesn't spoil anything. It's literally like the first line in that movie.
Right.
But I appreciated that, and you know they got both evidence of the movie. You know, just the way Boots was in his wheelchair, and then he got young again because he started playing.
Yeah. And I like that, because if you guys don't follow NBA, I highly suggest you do, because it's literally the best sport around. I mean, I'm biased, but basketball, there's such a love and appreciation for the actual talent and the players. Nate Robinson, who plays Boots, his character, Nate Robinson's in and of himself, he's known for dunking. Because of his short stature, he's 5'9", but he got his fame to claim was dunking over tall people. Like, he dunked over Shaq, who's so much taller than he is. He dunked over Dwight Howard. He was Dwight Howard's kryptonite. That's why he won the slam dunk contest. So Nate Robinson doing his thing and being able to dunk again, that's fun, because that's not Boots being Boots. That's Nate Robinson being Nate. And so I appreciated with all these different NBA players, like they still showed who they were and why they're such NBA stars.
Yeah.
They're actually talented, and I appreciate that.
And again, kind of the old jokes weren't as prevalent once we got to the games, but nonetheless, they were there as far as, all right, let's take our pills.
Blue pill.
No, that's for lunch.
That was funny. I did like the geriatric jokes, because I think that's the dramatic irony, is we know that these actors, players, aren't as old as they actually are playing in the movie. So we know they're young. Kyrie Irving, he's 26, so he's young as of right now. So we know that these are actually younger players playing older. It never got old, though.
No.
No pun intended. And it really, all these jokes never got tired.
No, when we kind of flip over to the production side of things, you know, all of it had that coolness, that hipness throughout. All these elements worked in tandem with the cinematography, with the editing. A lot of great music selection throughout. I mean, it's a really good summer movie. And I know a lot of it's tied to like NBA jokes and things like that, but it also doesn't have to be and isn't.
Right.
You know, like you said, like I think the Shaq joke is funny. But if you don't understand, you know, Shaq's history, that's okay too.
Right.
I think
pass
it
the ball,
works.
Kobe. so good. But also like just the regular basketball fan would appreciate this film for how it was filmed, how it was put together. You saw the differences of what it's like in a gym location compared to what it's like out on the streets in an open park. And you saw the back and forth of people missing shots. And I liked how it wasn't just like shot, shot, dunk, dunk, you know. They actually showed moments of where they took real shots and they missed them, because that's basketball. So I think the editing wise, they really got the just the essence of an actual real basketball game.
They did. Just the angles too that they got. I mean, you know, it's still very early as far as things, but I think seeing the behind the scenes aspects of this when it does come out on Blu-ray or something like that, that's going to be a lot of fun to see how, you know, it, mm-hmm. the passion that they had for this movie in making this movie, and a lot of great talent. Charles Stone III, he directed it. Crash being the cinematographer. Christoph Lennertz doing the music we've talked about. But then again, the strength, like I think he does a good job of on scoring the moments that need that emotional tension. But as far as the fun, you know, the music supervision on this with all of its soundtrack, a lot of elements just come together and make it amazing.
Right. And you mentioned the soundtrack, but also there were moments where the diegetic music also came into play with the script. Like, that's like Gladys Knight's Without the Pips. And I was, and then they started playing Midnight Train to Georgia. And I love that song. And so there were just moments where they actually talked about the actual music. That's relevant and added to the storyline. And I think it was very well done from just the real conversation on screen to what we're hearing just as supplementary music. It was a nice blend of both.
And you're correct, because, you know, to be honest, I never knew that the Notorious the B.I.G. song, the Biggie Smalls mm-hmm. song, was another song.
Yeah, originally.
How do you pause that thing? No. Listen. That's real music. That's music for the boom boom room.
Yeah. This song has been playing since this morning.
Yeah, that's fun too, because like so many times when you do go through a traveling montage, mm-hmm. you just play one song and they actually just comment on it in that silly, fun way of like okay, let's move on from the song.
Right, and also people of the younger generation don't realize that sometimes there were things called such as ca-singles. Literally one single song on one cassette. And you have one tape that played only one song on repeat. So it's a real thing.
I truly was a young blood because I was like, damn, I didn't even know that existed. Like, I know gramophones, I know record players, I know A-sides and B-sides on mm-hmm. cassette tapes, I know the Discman, but damn, I never heard of the Atari cartridge.
Right. That was funny. So I go back to Walkman singles only because I have older siblings that go back to that generation. So
singles.
I know what they are.
Damn.
It's a true thing. Go Google it. Ca-singles. It's a real thing.
You'd be learning all the young bloods today.
There's some facts for you.
All right. Anything, as far as anything else, we don't have too much information. You know, it's opening weekend, so we don't have the box office numbers. We do have that it has an A- cinema score, but, you know, beyond that, not much else. Anything you want to add to the conversation before we wrap things up?
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Tiffany Haddish.
Sure.
Big comedian who's kind of up and coming, but like we've seen her career really take off in the past few years, and I'm glad that she was such a biatch in this movie, but she was still fun to watch, and there were moments where Tiffany was just being Tiffany, and I didn't mind it. And I liked how each character had their moments to... And it wasn't really, didn't take me out of the film, but I just, because I followed them in their careers, from the players to the screen, like, I just know what their characteristic traits are. I was like, oh, that's Kyrie being Kyrie. You know, when he's dribbling and showing his handles, I was like, that's the player. That's not Uncle Drew, that's Kyrie. But it's fun to watch because it's real talent. I appreciate real talent.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Now, if only we were so good that we could do the show while eating a sandwich. Unfortunately, we're not that good.
A ham sandwich, no less.
Alrighty. Well, very enjoyable movie. If you've stayed this long and you've watched us without seeing the movie, by all means, highly, highly encourage it. We're, you know, right now, the time in which we're taping this episode doesn't necessarily mean it's the time in which you're listening or watching to it. Mm-hmm. But it is, we're coming up on the 4th of July. So, you know, if you'd like to go with your friends and family to see a fun movie, this is a perfect movie.
Right.
To do that.
And I love basketball movies. This is not the first basketball movie you see real NBA stars in.
Space Jam.
Yeah. Space Jam. He Got Game. I mean, For the Love of the Game. I mean, For the Love of Basketball. There's just so many basketball movies out there. This is a fun one that you can take teenagers to. And there are some inappropriate moments. But it's fun. You see a group of old people being awesome.
You see Shaq's ass. That's the, you know, as far as gratuitous. But
also Reggie Miller killing it, being a sharpshooter, and Leslie also being amazing. Like, I still appreciate there are reasons why these are NBA legends.
Indeed. All right. And you know what? Maybe they could do a spinoff movie with Betty Lou and her gang.
Oh, I would so watch that. Get the WNBA stars in? Absolutely.
Well, there you go. There's my suggestion. There's my final thoughts. Thank you guys, as always. By all means, let us know your thoughts and opinions in the comments section. We appreciate you, whether you're listening over on the audio side of things or you're watching us on the video end of things. All the same, you guys are putting equal amount of time to appreciate what we do week in, week out. So that is not lost on us. If we've done a lot of movies in the past, there's a lot for you to go through in terms of the archives, and there's a lot to look forward to as well. We trudge on forward with lots of movies coming up, certainly in the summer months, let alone this year. Mm-hmm. On behalf of @SerafiniTV, that's where you can interact with Marissa more directly.
That's right, and where I'm always tweeting Boston Celtics, yes, in NBA.
So anything NBA related, definitely recommend you guys interact with Marissa. Yeah. She'll love to strike up a conversation.
And did you know Kyrie actually sang on this particular track, Ridiculous?
I do.
Yeah, he did.
And on that, Phil Svitek, it is Ridiculous, and we'll see you next time on another Anatomy of Movie.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news. From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.